You're listening to a CNBC TV 18 podcast.
India's political sphere is abuzz as elections in Uttar Pradesh, Punjab, Uttarakhand, Goa, and Manipur are nearing. While the Congress and BJP have finalized their first list of candidates for UP polls, the exodus of MLAs from Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath's cadre continues. Hello and welcome to CNBCTV18.com. This is Kanishka Sarkar and I'm back here with the latest on markets, economy, COVID-19 pandemic, elections and more. Before we discuss the scenario in poll-bound states in detail, let's first see how the market fared on January 13. Indian equity benchmarks ended a volatile session with mild gains, managing to extend a winning run to the fifth day in a row. Strength in oil and gas and metal shares was countered by weakness in financial and consumer goods stocks. ID stocks remained in focus throughout the session, a day after TCS, Infosys and Wipro reported their quarterly earnings. While TCS and Infosys rose around 1% each, Wipro tumbled 6%. Well, Mindtree also rose 2.7%. And shortly after market hours, the company announced its financial results for the quarter ended December 31, 2021. Its consolidated net profit grew 9% to 437 crore rupees compared to the previous quarter, and it recorded a revenue of 2,750 crore rupees, which is up 6.3% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. As India Inc. kicked off the earnings season with a mixed bag of earnings, JM Financial Institution Securities believes that the Indian technology space is going through a repeat of 2004 to 2008 kind of time frame. If one looks at the valuation multiples of offshore technology companies relative to Accenture at that point of time, Tata Consultancy Services, Infosys and Wipro used to trade at a premium to Accenture. Over the last 5-6 years, these companies have started to trade at discount to Accenture. Given the underlying industry dynamics, there's a case both for Infosys and TCS to reduce the gap relative to Accenture, according to JM Financials. Meanwhile, Paytm shares continue to drop for yet another day, settling at a record closing low of 1,028 rupees. At this level, the stock is available at a discount of 52% to its issue price. Moving on to the economy front, Morgan Stanley remains constructive on India's growth numbers. The global brokerage's chief Asia economist, Chetan Ahaya, expects private capex to pick up soon in the country. According to him, India's long-term growth story is effectively that of strong demographics. But jobs need to be created, and for that, there's need for capex, which he's pretty confident will pick up. Next up, here's a look at how the election season is going. First up, in Uttar Pradesh, BJP faces an uphill task of repeating its performance of the last assembly election of winning 53 out of 58 constituencies in Western UP. Political analysts say that Western UP, which has seen widespread protests over the center's now repealed farm laws, will be very crucial for the BJP for achieving the target of winning more than 300 seats out of 403 again. It also looks like a rough battle right now because three ministers of Yogi Adityanath's cabinet have already quit. OBC leader Dharam Singh Saini became the third minister to resign from the Uttar Pradesh cabinet after Swami Prasad Maurya and Dara Singh Chauhan. As in the case with Maurya and Chauhan, Samajwadi Party President Akhilesh Yadav tweeted a picture of himself with Saini, indicating that he is also headed to the SP. While Congress has released its first list of candidates who will contest the upcoming assembly elections in UP, BJP too has finalized its list of 172 candidates with CM Yogi Adityanath and Deputy CM Keshav Prasad Maurya also likely to be fielded. Meanwhile in Punjab, which will be another interesting battleground to watch, hours after Aam Aadmi Party Supremo Arvind Kejriwal unveiled his party's Punjab model of governance, State Congress Chief Navjot Singh Sidhu attacked him, dubbing him a political tourist. And he also called Kejriwal's model a copycat model. Meanwhile, Kejriwal has said that his party will ask the general public as to who should be their CM's face in Punjab. He, however, has ruled himself out of the race and indicated that his own preference for the post was State Unit President Bhagwant Mann. In Uttarakhand, on the other hand, a do-or-die battle is on the cards. While the ruling BJP is fiercely defending its throne, the opposition Congress is desperate to avenge its 2017 humiliation. The largely bipolar politics of the state, involving the two national parties which have been alternatively in power, this has got a new twist this time, with Arvind Kejriwal's AAP also in the fray, offering itself as an alternative to Congress and BJP. BJP has set itself a target of winning more than 60 out of 70 assembly seats, but poll observers feel that it is unrealistic on the part of the Saffron Party, which is ignoring the anti-incumbency factor. Giving three chief ministers to the state within 5 years and bringing about political instability despite a big mandate is another factor that may eclipse the BJP's chances. Moving on to developments on the business front. Elon Musk is using social media to put pressure on the government on duty cut for Tesla's entry into India. Musk tweeted to say that he was unable to share launch plans for India as Tesla was still working through a lot of challenges with the government. Well, hours after his social media post, the Indian government officials gave a sharp response. A government source told CNBC TV 18 that by such tweets, Tesla is trying to put pressure on the government, and this is not the first time. Indian officials have made it clear that Tesla cannot ask for a duty cut without making a commitment to producing in India. Officials have said that Tesla can already bring their cars in a CKD form with zero duty and sell them in India. However, Tesla is believed to have conveyed that it cannot bring cars in a CKD form and they would like to test the market first. Next up is another exclusive report. Sources have told CNBC TV 18 that term policy premiums are expected to see a rise of about 15-25% across life insurance companies. This is owing to increased stress in the reinsurance business. The sources said that reinsurance rates have been hiked by an average of 40-60% for term policies, and the retention limit under term life policies has been doubled for life insurance companies. With that, we end this podcast, but before I sign out, here's an opportunity where we will listen to you. In case you have any queries or suggestions, please do write to us on CNBC TV 18 podcast at nw18.com. I'll be back tomorrow evening with the top stories from around the world. Till then, stay tuned to CNBCTV18.com for all the latest updates. Thank you for listening.